Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. A score that my very detailed and My brain misfired that day.
Sir, I've never seen you really do that. It was shocking. It really was.
Getting old.
You are.
Maybe a stroke. I don't know.
Getting old. How you doing? Doing good?
FTPM. Chris Sims Unbuttoned. I'm doing great. Feeling good.
Yeah?
We are down to only 5 more weeks of the regular season, and I enjoy this every week. You know, going into Thursday morning when I know we've got 2 hours of PFT Live and then this on the back end, I always have a little bit of, oh, man, it's going to be a long morning. But I enjoy every minute of it, especially this part of it, especially this year, because it started off a little bit rocky for me. But, man, oh, man. We are having a good year, at least one of us is. How about that? 12-2-1 straight up last week. You were 11-3-1. 9-6 against... How do you go 11-3-1 straight up and 5-10 against the spread? You almost have to try to do that.
It is amazing. It is. I don't know. I seem to do it quite often, though. I've had a few of these over the last few years. I thread the needle too much, like you say. I think that's the problem.
How do you like your arm angle on that ornament?
It's okay. Let's bring that up again, though, because, I mean, we talk about it. But I've made more money for the people this year. I've made more. They're happier to hear my betting advice.
No.
I've made more.
No. But look at the spread. I will take 99-88-8 against the spread. If you bet all my spread picks, you are buying a Cadillac right now, baby. I can't believe I'm 11 games over 500.
Yeah, it's good.
On that.
It's pretty impressive.
I can't believe it.
I know. Really well done. But I'm going to win that best bets category. That's the one I'm going to win.
And again, this is all the product of very careful deliberation, an algorithm that I have honed over time, a mathematical formula into which I put various factors and... No, I look at the games and a score comes to my head.
Where sometimes I think I need to be a little bit more like that. I almost think about it too much. I let last week's, you know, me watching film, I'm Ron Jaworski on Monday and Tuesday. It gets in my brain too much. I really do. I got to reassess how I go about picking the games when the season's over. But I'm going to beat you in best bets. I am. And I'm glad you're wearing your regular Thursday shirt. We didn't get to talk about that today on the show. So it's good you're back, and you know, you really should thank me for that. You know that you get to wear that shirt. You know, you should.
Why?
Because I broke it down. I changed it. Remember when I first got here, you wanted to be Johnny Blazer every time we did a show. And I was like, oh, my gosh, am I going to have to fucking wear a blazer to work every day? Is that what I'm going to be, that guy?
Just on Mondays. You know, I felt like I needed to wear a blazer in that studio.
Oh, okay.
And then it occurred to me recently – that, shit, you never do, so why should I?
Exactly, exactly. Good, good. I'm glad we're in it. We can look presentable, and, I mean, I got a nice sweater on. It's not like I'm sitting here looking like a hobo. I'm not asking for Jimmy Haslam cash handout and a Johnny Manziel pick on the side here.
yeah, look, in this thing, I actually wore it Monday.
Are you serious?
In that studio.
Wow.
Yeah, I
Damn,
did.
That's, you
and
can't
then
do
this
that.
Morning, I was, you know what? I'll do whatever I want because
apparently
I don't care. When you get to a certain age, you just don't give a shit anymore, and it is very liberating. Anyway, we've got time to kill today because six teams are on a bye this week, and the good news is this is it for the byes. The final 4 weeks of the season, everybody plays every week. No more bye weeks. Everybody's played the same number of games. You don't have to think, are they 5-8? Are they 4-8? That drives me crazy. So we've got no Falcons, no Packers, no Bears, no Saints, no Colts, no Commanders. Everybody else is playing this week. 13 games. Let's get right to it.
Let's do it.
Thursday night. Raiders, Rams. I don't know how much time we should talk about this one. I continue to see indications that Matthew Stafford's
playing?
That Baker Mayfield is going to play. I don't know. Maybe they'd be better off with Matthew Stafford. He at least knows the offense. I don't get this. We talked about it earlier today. I think this is give the people a reason to tune in. Nothing more than that. The Raiders are firing on all cylinders. The Rams are falling apart. The Rams did everything they could, pulled out all the stops, emptied the tank to try to beat the Seahawks. They lost. I think it's the worst time to have a short week. I think this is going to be ugly. I'll be watching the sidelines for meltdowns by the likes of Jalen Ramsey. I feel like he's overdue for one. There's really, if this was not what I do for a living, I would not watch this game tonight.
So go ahead. I mean, you just gave a little breakdown and that and all that.
Take the Raiders. I mean, the Raiders.
Yeah.
Look, I've been a Derek Carr naysayer from time to time. I don't like the whole shtick at the press conference.
Yeah.
We may or may not have a producer who likes to stir the shit a little bit to get us to say those things. I won't name names. But he's playing really well. And Josh Jacobs is playing again. Now, it's the short week after playing on Sunday, and he's got the calf thing.
Yeah,
but he
right.
still lines up and plays. Devontae Adams is getting it done. They've won three in a row. I love a good story. And there's nothing like a team that felt like it was almost ready for relegation after losing to the Colts and Jeff Saturday coming off of the ESPN studio into the top job with the Colts and beating the Raiders. And they've won three in a row. So it's fun to watch. The defense is coming around. You mentioned there was a Chandler Jones sighting this weekend. He was the AFC Defensive Player of the Week. I think the Raiders win this one 31-20. The spread is 6.5 with an over-under of 43.5. And that just seems like a, you know, I hate to do Thursday best bets, but man, that Raiders spread seems a little too light for my liking.
I hear you there. And I think probably one, hey, I'm interested in what you said too. Is we're going to hit a point where the Rams finally give up? I've never seen them do that in the Sean McVay era. And their defense is still damn good. Your question about Baker Mayfield is real. It's weird. It's odd. I mean, you know, we know John Wolford hurt, but maybe they look at it to go, hey, Bryce Perkins so raw that Baker Mayfield just knowing some of the basics of the offense is really just the same. So let's throw him out there. I don't know. I'm definitely interested to see where that goes there. But you hit it right with the Raiders. I mean, the Raiders, you know, they got it rolling. McDaniels, this to me is where he's always been special. I see it kind of every game where, you know, first few drives might not work out that well or whatever, but then he starts to get a feel like, oh, they're playing us like this today. And then all of a sudden it's like boom, 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 hand off this way, that way, that way. And all of a sudden they become like they're driving the ball down the field every play, every series now. And they had that a little bit last week. It took them a little while to figure out the Chargers and how they were being attacked. But once they figured it out, the Chargers couldn't stop them. And you said it too. I mean, the balance is what's impressive. The run game and Josh Jacobs is in that combo for best running back in football. And Carr and Adams, I mean, McDaniel's amazing at organizing plays to get him the ball. And then that Raiders defense has become more aggressive. They don't play it by the book. I'm going Raiders 27-17. I don't know. There's a part of me that wouldn't be shocked because of the Rams defense a little bit if they hung around a little bit. But clearly think the Raiders win the football game.
Yeah, and it's always hard on a short week. You never know who's going to rise up. I just don't see the Rams doing it tonight. I think the bubble pops at some point, and they just give up, and they finish out the season. Now they're playing for pride, and they're putting film out there that will help them next year, whether they stay with the Rams or go somewhere else. I just feel like there's a certain point where the humanity of it takes over, and oh, the humanity for the Rams this year. Let's shift to Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Jets at Bills. The Mike White show continues. Last year, it came to a crashing halt, 45-17 in his third start, also against the Bills with four interceptions and no touchdown passes. This time around, the Bills, with a couple of extra days to rest because they played the Patriots last Thursday night, they are 9-point favorites with an over-under of 44. That seems like a big spread for the Bills to have against the Jets, who are 7-5. Chris, do the Bills win? Do the Bills cover?
Right. I mean, 7-5 and lost to the Jets, right? You know, a month ago,
yes.
4 or 5 games ago.
With a different quarterback.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, and Zach Wilson played really good in that game. I like the Bills. I like them to cover, actually. It's like, to me, a scary cover. The Bills are scary. I mean, the Bills are one of those teams, Mike. Like, we know they could be up by 4 or 6 with, like, 7 minutes in the game, and all of a sudden you look up and you go, damn, they won by 20. So that's where, you know, it could be a 10-point victory and the game be somewhat close throughout. But I think here's the things. You know, one, you heard me say today, you know, Buffalo's offense, like, I don't know. The run game might be something here. It really might be to where they have like something now where, you know, 6 weeks ago, but they go, it's kind of a fake run game. They got to go into the point here a little bit like Kansas City where I go, no, you can't just brush it, you know, aside and go, well, they don't really want to run. That's become a little bit part of their DNA here. Josh Allen, we know he's so special. I think he's going to be pissed off about how he played. He lost the game the first time around for the Jets. They outplayed them. And then, you know, at home, you said it longer week. Jets come off an emotional loss. And here's the last thing that I just like the Bills, and I'm going Bills 27-17. It's just that the Jets, I don't think their run game is good enough, so they're not going to be able to rely on that. And to me, the Jets are a little too predictable in the pass game. That'd be the other thing I say. I mean, they lead the league in throwing the swing route to the running back or the guy they fake the reverse out, throw it out there, or a slant over the middle. It's kind of like the basis of their pass offense. And usually when you're kind of like that, McDermott and Leslie Frazier tear you apart. Bills 27-17.
I've got Buffalo as well. And actually, I misspoke earlier. My Las Vegas score is 30-20. My Bills score is 31-20. I was trying to talk myself out of a cover by the Bills here, but I think what really has helped invigorate them. You know, they got closer together as a result of those two weird games following the snowstorm.
Yep.
They had the Minnesota loss that really could have taken the air out of the balloon for them. The storm brought them together. They won in Detroit against the Browns. They won in Detroit against the Lions.
And
both
were dominant.
Games were kind of sluggish.
And, yeah.
And but then the Patriots, it all clicked.
Right.
And
right.
And then the Chiefs lose and they slip back into the driver's seat for the one seed. So they know the importance of the one seed. They got 5 games left. They're not going to screw around with the Jets here. And again, this applies to any team that's in a position to win its division and have a high spot in the playoffs. You don't want any of your rivals coming to town in January. You don't want the Jets to come back. So do what you can to knock them out. Put them on a path that lands them on the outside looking in. Let the Steelers or the Raiders or someone else in, but not the Jets. That's another reason to do it. I think that, and you know, it's just another opportunity for them to get things pointed in the right direction. I think they will. 31-20, Bills win. And we talked about this earlier. Mike White's still going to be the quarterback. Not until they make Zach Wilson the backup is it even approaching the point where they would make Zach Wilson the starter, I believe. They're going to keep riding with Mike White, and I don't think he's going to have that same disaster that he had last year.
No, I don't expect that either. You know, again, I could see him throwing an interception or two, certainly. But, yeah, I don't see a disaster happening. He's been playing good. There's no doubt about that. But, yeah, Mike, I think you're one point about the fact that they're the number one seed right now and that the Chiefs slipped up. I think that is a huge motivational factor for them to be like, oh shit, here we go. We just hold court here, hold serve. They're coming to us. And that's what they've talked about all year long, ever since they lost last year to the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City. So I like that point from you. I think that is real there.
Browns at the Bengals. The Browns have owned the Bengals during the Joe Burrow era this time around. They're at Cincinnati. The Bengals are favored by 6, and for good reason. The Bengals are looking every bit as good as they were last year. And the Browns, despite winning at Houston, Deshaun Watson has a long way to go to get himself back into high-end football form. Cincinnati is 9-3 against the spread this season. They're tied with the Giants for the best in the NFL. Again, 6-point favorite, over under a 47. Do the Bengals win? Do they cover, Chris?
Yes and yes, I'm going to go with here. I think the big thing is, Deshaun Watson, it's still too early on to think that he's going to kind of get going here. And the Bengals defense is playing at an elite level. They are. I know we've hit on it, and with DJ Reader back, it just changes their football team. He's the, maybe the best run-stopping D-tackle in football. So that's where I don't see Cleveland being able to dominate the line of scrimmage in the run game and have those issues. And then when you couple that with an offensive pass game that's not necessarily the most creative in the world and a quarterback who's got the training wheels on as far as the offense is concerned still and still trying to get his feet wet here as far as playing quarterback in the NFL again, and then you add on top of that, the Bengals got it. They got it going. You said it right now, Mike. I mean, the O-line, it's kind of amazing the turn and the positive direction they've made over the last 5 or 6 weeks. There we are last week. The Chiefs, they always get pressure on people and cause a few, almost strip sack fumbles. They couldn't get close to Joe Burrow. They're running the ball a little bit. Chase is back healthy. I think they make a point to show who's the king of Ohio here. And I think they're going to make a point because they've been hearing this shit all week that they can't beat the Browns. And I'm going to go Bengals 28-17.
And they've got the opportunity to win the division. They've got the opportunity to get the one seed.
That's right.
They hold the tiebreaker with the Chiefs. If there's any slip-up, and they've got the Bills, the last Monday night game of the year. Say what you will about the crappy December Monday night schedule.
That one.
Bills, Bengals, to wrap the Monday night slate on Monday, January 2nd. All right, Texans at the Cowboys. Oh, boy.
Whoa.
16.5-point spread. And this is a Cowboys team that beat the Colts 54-19, the Vikings 40-3. They were up double scores on the Giants until the backdoor cover. The Cowboys are one of the closest things we've seen to dominance this year, and the Texans are the closest thing we've seen to complete and total crap storm this year. 45.5 over under. Do the Cowboys cover the biggest spread of the week, Chris?
All right, so before we hit that, just hit on, I don't think you said your score for the Bengals-Browns game.
28-20. I'm sorry, 28-20.
28-20.
My Bengals.
Okay.
All good. I apologize.
No, you're good. We'll forgive you and let you do the rest of the show. Either way, I mean, of course I like the Cowboys. And yeah, I'm going to take them to cover the spread. I am. I'm going to go 31-14 here. The only thing that scares me at all is just the running attack of the Houston Texans, which hasn't really been all that special here as of late. But I just worry about that. Not that it's going to like take over the game and maybe help them win, but two long drives and you go down and get a field goal or a touchdown and they ran the ball and did all that. All of a sudden, there's not much left in the game. It's hard to win by more than 16 or 17 points when that kind of stuff happens. So that scares me, but I don't see any area that you can look at with the Texans and think that, they have an advantage there. Just maybe their size up front with their O-line compared to that Cowboys D-line, but Cowboys are going to be like, so what? They're going to put everybody at the line of scrimmage, cause chaos, and they know they can cover this Texans pass game. Cowboys 31-14.
I got 42-14. And the one factor that I really didn't consider earlier, and it's not going to change my mind at this point, in part because I'm too stubborn, there's something about going into AT&T Stadium and playing there. The road team sometimes finds a way to
rise up
because it's such a bit better,
yeah,
right?
Such
it's a
big
bigger
stage.
Deal.
Right.
But you know what? The Texans last week had every reason to be extra motivated with Deshaun Watson in town. What did it do for them? They just don't have the talent. And I feel like Lovie Smith is starting to realize he's going to be one and done, just like David Culley was last year. There's talk now that Nick Caserio is going to be out, that Cal McNair is going to hit the reset button because Caserio was the guy that Jack Easterby had to have. So I feel like this thing is pulling into the station in a very ugly way for the Texans. And why screw up at this point? Why screw up the first overall pick in the draft. Not that they could change it anyway. Davis Mills is back starting. It doesn't matter. The Cowboys are great on both sides of the ball. They have been dominant the past 3 weeks, despite the final score of the Thanksgiving game against the Giants. And everything for them is pointing toward hoping the Eagles slip up against the Giants once or twice and Christmas Eve when the Eagles come to town. The Cowboys still have a chance to win that division. They're not giving up, and they are priming themselves for a playoff one, which, if they don't win the division, is going to start with a game against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, most likely, and then they go on the road from there. And they have the potential, based on how they're playing now, to be very dangerous, and I don't see them slipping up. They're always prone to slip up at some point. I just don't see it happening this week against the Houston Texans. No. There's that in-state thing, too.
Yes.
And Jerry Jones and company will take extra pride in kicking the crap out of the Houston Texans. Yep. So all the signs to me point to the Cowboys getting a big win. Okay, how about this one?
Yeah.
The Vikings, 10-2, going to Detroit to face a team that was 1-6 not that long ago. Yes, they are 5-7 now. They've won 4 out of 5 games. They're playing extremely well. The line opened at the Vikings -2.5. It has swung 5 points in the direction of the Lions. They are now 2.5-point favorites. The spread is 52.5. That's the high, or the over-under, excuse me, is 52.5. That's the highest of the week. Chris, you've been picking against the Vikings a lot lately, and that's one of the ways I've been gaining some ground against you, because I've been a believer when you've been a doubter. Are you a believer now, or do you continue to doubt the boys in Baru?
I doubt them still as a whole. I do think this game will be close, but I'm not going to doubt them on this one. I'm going to still take the Vikings in this football game. I am.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a little scary.
I have to rethink my pick.
It's a little scary. I mean, there's no question. And I even wrote down, like, maybe switch. I've thought about that. Like we discussed a little today. You know, I think really the biggest difference in the game is just the Vikings already know how to win, and they got a lot of guys that have been in the playoffs and veteran-type players, where Detroit's just figured it out the last 2 or 3 weeks. So, you know, and then the other thing I look at is, I mean, we know the Lions' offense is damn good. I mean, it's damn good. And Jared Goff is having the best year of his career, and they have balance there. But I guess I'm sick of being proven wrong with the Vikings. And the Vikings, they're pretty good on third downs, and they don't like to score touchdowns. And that, I just look at that and go, I don't know. I've been burned by it so many times. I'm going to have faith, and that formula happens once again here. And then within the Vikings too, hey, the Lions' defense has been playing better, but I'm not so sure they've played an offense like this with this quite balanced, you know, down in the last 5-6 weeks. Not to where you go, wait, they could hand the ball off and go over 80, or they could throw a bomb over the top on us on 80. I'm going to go with the Vikings gutting it out and winning a close one, 27-24, but I don't feel real comfortable about it.
I've got 30-27. I think the way the Lions win this game is to do what they did to the Jaguars and to do what the Cowboys did to the Vikings, come out and kick the crap out of them. That's the best way to beat anybody, really. But you want to avoid that fourth quarter magic or karma or whatever in the hell it is that happens. And we've seen the past several Vikings-Lions games come down to the very end. And Dan Campbell's still thinking about
the fourth down,
not
right?
Going for it on fourth right. Down. Like, quit thinking about that. That's going to get in your head, and you're going to make a dumb mistake. You're going to do something to justify a decision you made 2 months ago. Yeah. Forget about that. Make the right decision in the right spot. But again, the opponents are starting to let that creep into their heads, that the Vikings have this magic. They've got this horseshoe up their ass, and it doesn't matter. It's going to fall out onto our foot at the worst possible time. So I think it's going to be another close game. It's going to be down to the wire, and the Vikings are going to find a way to either make a play on offense, make a play on defense, make a play on special teams. Whatever it takes, they'll find a way, 30-27. I don't feel real confident about it, but I never do. Why should you feel confident about anything related to the Minnesota Vikings this year? The question is, how long can they ride that horse before it dies underneath?
It's crazy. Right. It's crazy. One team's 5-7 and the other one's, you know, 2 losses on the year. They both have the worst 2 defenses in football. It's just that's where when people are shocked by the spread, you know, that's where, like, we talked about it. You know, you go through the team a little bit, and you go, oh, damn, yeah, maybe I would take a few more Lions than I thought in there. So, yeah, this is a very, very interesting football game. But I'm going to go with your damn Vikings because they seem to pull these games out all the time.
They've just got a lot of intangibles that are lined up in their favor, and at some point it's no longer a fluke. You can look at it one game at a time and say, that was a fluke, that was a fluke, that was a fluke, that was a fluke. At some point, it's not. And I felt that way about the Cowboys game, too, and it was 40-3. But again, that's the way that someone is going to beat them. Jump on them early, get a big lead, and there's no chance for magic in the fourth quarter. Eagles at the Giants. Boy, not that long ago, these two Giants games still to come for the Eagles look like real problems. Lately, though, Giants fading, Eagles soaring, Eagles 7-point favorites at MetLife Stadium with an over-under of 44.5. The Giants 9-3 against the spread this year, tied with the Bengals for best in the NFL. Do they cover? Do they win when their arch rivals come to town?
I don't think either one. I don't look at a cover or a win. I just think the Eagles are just too much. I don't think it's a good matchup for the Giants. You know, and then the way the Giants like to play, that's just scary too. One, I mean, the Eagles, we know the run game and all of that. The Giants aren't always great at stopping the run. They let up way too many big plays for the amount of big people they have, but they're trying to create chaos and do some things to help out for their lack of talent, and that caused them to get burned. And that's just – here it's just, yeah, they're going to have to do stuff that's, you know, risky and take chances if they want to win the football game, and this is just a team that's got answers and everything for it, let alone the players. They're going to be able to run, and then the Giants like to play man-to-man as it is already. You don't want to play man-to-man against this crew, but I don't think they have a choice. You know, and then you flip it around the other side. It's just I don't think there's enough for the Giants to defend. I don't believe that the Giants can sit here and run the ball, you know, at a big-time successful rate like we've seen them in most games they've won. I don't see that. I mean, Daniel Jones and Saquon, they might rip off one run, two runs here and there, but I don't think it's going to be like, oh, we come away from the day and go, Saquon ran for 90 and Daniel Jones ran for 70 as well. I don't see that happening. This Eagles defense is playing some good ball right now, and they've settled down in that run defense department. 31-20 Eagles.
Yeah, look, the Eagles are developing that vibe of team of destiny. Now, we've seen destiny get dashed in the past, but that late season, they slip into a zone where they just show up and kick your ass. And then they get ready again, and they show up and kick your ass. And that's how they've been. What they did to the Titans last week, that's what convinced me. They are in full-blown show-up-and-kick-your-ass mode. They went through a stretch where they were a little wobbly. They still found a way to win the games. But now it's December, and they figured out how to, one more time, show up and kick your ass. And I think that's what they're going to do to the Giants. I've got 34-17. The Giants are kind of like the Vikings were, but the Giants had the chariot turn into a pumpkin several weeks ago.
Well, they don't have, yeah.
Like, how are they winning games? How are they winning games? How are they winning games? Same thing as the Vikings.
Right, right.
It's gotten to a point where they don't have the talent.
Yeah, that's it, Mike. That's right, right. Like, you guys, at least the Vikings, got those guys you can depend on big moments, right? It's like, oh, all right, well, damn, everybody's covered, but here's Justin Jefferson. They'll just throw it up. Thielen, Cook, you guys got some individual players, even defensively, even though the defense isn't great. We see, you know, Danielle Hunter, Za'Darius Smith, Patrick Peterson, Harrison Smith. Every week we go, oh, one of those guys makes kind of an awesome play during the game. So that is, I think you're spot on, and that's the difference of the football team. But, yeah, I think really the reality of the Giants of what we kind of, you know, it's already been a win year for the Giants. They won. I don't give a shit what happens here on out. Of course I want them to go to the playoffs, and I'm rooting for them. I'm a Giants fan. But, like, this has already greatly exceeded my expectations. You know, Giants fans before the years were all just going, man, if we could just be, you know, in the race in November, that would be great. Well, we're in it. But, you know, now we're going to play some real teams down the home stretch here. And I don't think we're, you know, in that caliber or in that class of team right now.
And it is weird that the Commanders are home resting and watching while they get ready for the rematch next week.
Yeah, it's funny.
The Giants, meanwhile, have to play the Eagles, which will make it even harder for the Giants to win that game at FedEx Field next weekend. All right, next game, Ravens at Steelers. The first time they get together this year is in December. They'll play twice down the stretch, and the Steelers, 2.5-point favorites at home. Why? Because Lamar Jackson is out. Tyler Huntley is in. It's the lowest over-under of the week at 37. The Steelers have won two in a row.
3 out of 4.
They've won 3 out of 4. They gave the Bengals everything they could handle.
Yep.
Can the Steelers give the Ravens everything they handle and knock the Ravens out of first place in the AFC North and also get the Steelers to 6-7 and stay very much alive in the playoff chase?
I don't know if you're influencing me or not. I don't know. I really don't. But it just feels like this is going to be a Pittsburgh win. Just the way two teams are going here. And it's in Pittsburgh, and they always do unexpected shit, you know, when their backs are against the wall. You've said it always. I mean, you got a great feel for it. And I think this is one where it's like, yeah, unexpected shit, plus they're kind of playing good and the Ravens aren't playing good. And that's where I look at it to be an issue. And I think it plays into I just feel like when the Raiders know, you know, and the Ravens can't run the ball very good, so when they know they can kind of go all in on one thing, and then with this, they don't have to worry about a big-time passing game here. So they can put their eggs into let's stop Greg Roman and all that stuff, let alone it's not executing all that well itself, the run game there. And then not sexy, but, you know, you've talked about it. The Steelers' offense has it going as good as we've seen here this year. You know, it's not explosive plays, but it is Kenny Pickett efficient, picking you apart, you know, makes a scramble for 8 or 10 every now and then. The run game's going a little bit. Steelers, I'm taking them. 19-17. I think it'll be a close one, but I think they win it.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's always close between these two teams. Right. I'll go 13-9 Steelers. And there's just, look, Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season. And with 17 games, you know, last year he got lucky and they went 8-8-1, so it was a push.
That's right.
But they can lose one more of the final five. And they just have that. That video that was making the rounds on Sunday, and there's been a lot of talk about it in Pittsburgh where the fan with his phone is, hey, Coach Tomlin, go get the win. And he says, man, I'm fucking working. Just snaps at him. I mean, that's kind of the mindset of the Steelers right now. They're buckled down, they're locked in, and Tomlin is doing his thing, and he does not want to have a losing season. And I would not bet against Mike Tomlin under any set of circumstances, and I think they'll win this game 13-9. Even with Lamar Jackson, I would probably pick the Steelers to win this game. With Tyler Huntley, I definitely do so. 13-9, Steelers win and get to 6-7 and make things very interesting over the final few weeks of the season. Final game in the 1 o'clock window on Sunday. Jaguars at the Titans, the new-look Tennessee Titans with John Robinson out and Mike Vrabel in full control of the team. The Titans are only 4-point favorites after the Jaguars were shredded last week in Detroit, over-under of 41. Chris, you have picked Jacksonville against the spread in 11 of their 12 games, and they are 4-7 in the games in which you have picked them against the spread.
Mm-hmm.
Will you dare to do it again?
Gosh. It's no wonder I'm losing in the spread department. Holy shit. I'm not going to do it again. I'm not. I do think it's a scary one. I mean, the Titans, again, we know they're not really a blowout anybody type football team. That's not what they do. So, and then you take a team that, you know, last week, Jacksonville wasn't bad at stopping the run. It was the pass game that tore them apart. And I don't know. Can Tennessee's passing game tear them apart? I don't know if they can. I got to think the Jaguars are going to answer the bell a little bit and be pissed off by their performance, but not as pissed off as the Tennessee Titans, and the Titans are a better football team. So I have a hard time thinking Jacksonville is going to be able to consistently move the ball on Tennessee. That's where I look at it. I think the Titans get back on track here, win a tough physical football game, 21-16.
So you have them barely covering.
Barely
I think
covering.
It's going to be a little more than that, 31-17. Look, I'm a firm believer that John Robinson and Mike Vrabel had a power struggle. Mike Vrabel won. That's going to give him a boost, the team a boost. I think they come out of this ready to hit their stride, ready to go down the stretch. They may not be higher than the 4 seed. Who knows? But they're going to get things back on track, and I think this should be a pretty good game, especially with Trevor Lawrence kind of banged up. And the Jaguars, again, that kid that brings home straight A's every once in a while but can't do it consistently.
It's
and look,
unreal.
They had straight D minuses last week
yeah.
against
right.
the Detroit Lions. So I can't have faith in them, but I have faith in Mike Vrabel and the Tennessee Titans. Let's take a break when we return. Late afternoon, including Tom Brady taking on Brock Purdy for the first time ever and perhaps the only time ever. We'll discuss that next on Chris Sims Unbuttoned and PFTP.
Pretty good.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
PFTPM and Chris Sims Unbuttoned, the late afternoon games for week 14. This one was supposed to be prime time. The Broncos got to be pretty bad to get Patrick Mahomes flexed out of prime time. But look at what you did, Broncos. Look at what you did to Patrick Mahomes in the
right.
NFL.
We don't
get to watch Patrick Mahomes because you guys suck that bad.
You suck so bad. We don't get to watch Magic Man.
Are you going to let them do that to you? What's the world coming to? Is that the motivation? They took us out of prime time. Let's go beat the Chiefs. They're 9.5-point favorites over Denver in Denver with an over-under of 44.
Yeah, they're going to need more than that. They're going to have to like give the Chiefs some secret Denver stash weed brownies in their breakfast that morning if they want to pull this shit off, okay? You know, maybe Mahomes, hey, we gave him an ounce of weed and a brownie. Oh, yeah, well, he looks a little off today. Yeah, he's off. He's stoned out of his fucking mind. He's throwing interceptions everywhere. That's the only chance they got. I mean, really. Again, the Broncos, how can you expect anything from that offense? You know, You know it. We talk about it every week. I hate always saying it. The defense is good. They're going to have a little bit of a blueprint of things of what the Rams did to the Chiefs and be able to play off of that. EJ Everett from L.A., the Rams, that coaching staff. So he saw that. So I could see them. You know, I could see it being one of those games where the Chiefs aren't totally motivated and are kind of moving up and down the field. And, you know, then somebody misses a wide open touchdown. And, you know, and then, oh, gosh, they had to settle for a field goal. And it's like one of those, I'm going to go 27-13 victories where it's like, it feels like they should have won 40-10, but it's the Chiefs and they lose interest and then they just fuck around at the end of some of these games at times. So I just feel like that's the way this one will go, too.
I got the exact same score as you do, 27-13. And the Chiefs will be motivated to win because, number one, they want to catch the Bills for the top seed, but also they don't want to screw around and blow the 2 seed to the Bengals and then have to go to Cincinnati in the divisional round.
Yeah.
You at least want to be home for the divisional round if you know you're going to go on the road to face Buffalo in the championship round. So they have extra motivation to win, and this is a game they should win. And isn't like Patrick Mahomes undefeated in his career on the road against
the AFC
division rivals? I don't think he's ever lost to an AFC West team on the road. It's not going to start with a Broncos team that is as bad as any Broncos team has been since Super Bowl 50 when they won it and then just disintegrated in the years since then. So 27-13 for me as well. Chiefs cover and Broncos lose yet again. Panthers at the Seahawks. This was once kind of a great rivalry.
Yeah, it was. You're right.
Back when it was Cam Newton and Russell Wilson. And I remember thinking at one point, is this the new Tom Brady and Peyton Manning? Well, a lot has changed in a few years. Seahawks favored by 3.5. The Panthers still in the race in the NFC South, but with the Bucs winning on Monday night, it makes it a lot harder for them. 43.5 over under. Seahawks trying to hold on to a playoff berth in the NFC. Do they get this win and get a second straight victory as they continue their run for the postseason?
You know, I think it's, I do. I'm going to, of course, take the Seahawks. Not anything shocking there. I do think it's maybe a little scarier than it looks at, like, just, you know, base level. And the fact that Panthers defense been pretty good lately. You know, we've talked about they got some players over there that can be disruptive. There's no doubt about that. But then I think the part that scares me just a little is the Seahawks defense versus the Panthers run game, which has become a real force here where you just go, damn, they're kind of running the ball on everybody. So that's where I look at it a little bit to be, hey, they could control the clock and, you know, make things interesting that way. That's where I worry. And the Seahawks defense, as we know, it's not very good. Now, I think what might play in their favor is it's not a great passing offense, but you got to be careful about being too aggressive against Carolina because a guy like DJ Moore can run by anybody. But I'm still going to take the Seahawks. I just think the Seahawks, their offense has too much right now. Kenneth Walker, he would maybe change my thought about how much they win by. You know, they're a different team when he's on the football field. They're not a great running team. He's just a great talent. So he gets a lot of runs where you go, well, that should have been about a three-yard gain. And you go, man, fucking guy's a magician and an unbelievable explosive athlete. He got 15 on that run. Like, he had nowhere to go. So I just think, you know, that does play into the maybe the final score factor for those to watch that injury report there. But the way Geno, the way they throw the football, you know, they don't ever give up on the run. I'm going to go Seahawks 30-20 in this one.
I've got 27-20, same idea. And, yes, concerns about the running game because the Seahawks have been gashed lately. They screwed around with the Rams team they should have beaten easily. I am concerned about where the Seahawks are right now, and I think that there's a good chance they don't make it to the playoffs.
I hear you.
A team that next year is their year to make their run. But this is a critical one. They have to win this one in order to stay alive. And from the Panthers' standpoint, if they want to have any chance at trying to pull their way back into this NFC South race, and Steve Wilkes is trying to secure the long-term head coaching job. So they've got every reason to do it. And they've got Sam Darnold. You know, it occurred to me, this is a battle of a couple of former Jets would-be savior quarterbacks,
Geno
Smith and Sam Darnold, who have washed out. And Darnold's looked good since he's gotten the chance to play.
He has.
Not that he's going to be the Panthers quarterback, but he's in a better position than Baker Mayfield to land a bridge starting job next year, don't you think?
Yeah, I do. 100%. You know, or at least just go to somewhere to be that high end backup to where they go, wait, you're good and we're a good team. And if we lose our quarterback, we don't feel as bad about ourselves. So, you know, that's the positive. And you said it right about Seattle. This is a must win in a lot of ways. You know, they're kind of sitting comfortable right now, but they got to watch it. Their schedule after this is brutal. I mean, 49ers, Chiefs, Jets, Rams. You know, I know the Rams. We saw the Rams know how to play them, but those other three games, crap. They certainly could lose all three of those and be sitting in a must-win situation to go to the playoffs. So this is one they need to take for sure.
And they can't peek past this one to the short week game against the 49ers. They've got to just take care of business, build a little more confidence, and then hope for the best against the 49ers. All right, speaking of the 49ers, Tampa Bay Buccaneers traveling to Levi's Stadium. Third straight home game for the 49ers. First career start for Brock Purdy, who was in for the injured Jimmy Garoppolo. Tom Brady coming back to his home area. Grew up in San Mateo, was a 49ers fan, was at the Catch game, if you haven't heard, 1,000 times. 3.5-point favorites are the 49ers, 37.5 over under. Tampa Bay is 3-8-1 against the spread this year. That is the worst in the entire league. And they looked like crap for 55 minutes on Monday night, but they got it together for the final 5 minutes and somehow found a way to win the game. As I was watching that comeback on Monday night, I'm thinking, that this looks great, but it is not going to fly in San Francisco. It's not going to work. The 49ers are too good to let the Tampa Bay Buccaneers hang around and to let the Tampa Bay Buccaneers engineer a couple of late drives to win the game.
Yeah, I don't see that happening either. You know, there's a base level of wanting to go like, well, gosh, it's Brock Purdy's first start. That's Tom Brady. And you want to make the game closer just because of that. But I at least was like, you got to get over that. That doesn't mean anything. Brady is not the Brady we think. Yeah, if it's the last drive of the game and, okay, it's like that, then I'd be a little scared. I get that. But you know, he's not in the trust tree right now as far as high-level football play. And they can't protect him that well. And you got this crew coming to town, and Eric Armstead's got another game under his belt. And they played their worst game on defense that I've ever seen them play in the Shanahan era. As I said to you last week, I've never seen a team do that to San Francisco. The Tampa's not capable of that. They're not a good running football team, and they don't do that type of stuff. And then Brady doesn't want to hold the ball if there's pressure around him. And that's scary against San Francisco. And the Bucs, as much as I want their defense to turn around, yeah, they might have a little advantage of, you know, the pass offense might not be as extensive with Brock Purdy. But I think that the 49ers run game has gotten going here, and Purdy's good enough. I'm going to go 49ers 23-13. I just think they're a much better football team, and I think this is one where we could see Brady and the offense off kilter and antsy throughout the football game.
Yeah, I've got 24-13, and it may be worse than that, because that game on Monday night, the Saints were incapable of delivering the knockout blow.
Right. They messed it up so many times, right? I mean, drop third down passes.
The 49ers will deliver the knockout blow. I mean, it could be 27-3, frankly. It could be even worse than that. The only reason I'm holding it a little closer together is the Brock Purdy factor, and maybe the 49ers will be extra conservative on offense.
Right.
But I just don't see that the Tampa Bay offense doing enough to overcome the 49ers defense. The 49ers defense, as long as the core players are healthy, they're the best defense in the league, and they can carry them to the Super Bowl. Tom Brady is potentially going to be interested yet again in joining the 49ers after this season if he wants to continue his career, because that may be the best spot for him next year. It's premature talk about quarterbacks for the 49ers, but it's at one of these points, if they don't win the Super Bowl this year, at one of these points, Tom comes knocking, and they need to listen. Because, I mean, you put all that around him, you put that talent around him on both sides of the ball, holy crap. You put him in Shanahan's system, holy crap. And he'll get to watch how it all works without him on Sunday and with Brock Purdy. And I have no concerns about Brock Purdy. The four-year starter, the quotes from Trent Williams that we shared earlier on PFT Live, how he's unflustered, and he's already calling guys out. You run the wrong route, he's going to give you shit. He's going to tell you to shut up. Even if you're a seasoned veteran, he's got that personality that couples with the talent and puts him in a position where he can come in, manage the games, win the games, and be every bit as good as Jimmy Garoppolo was. And maybe he's the guy who'll make the big throw in the big spot that Garoppolo couldn't.
Yeah, well, he's got, again, I don't think the talent level is too dramatically different here. And Purdy's ability to run is actually better than Garoppolo, too. His arm, like I said earlier today, it's no stronger or weaker. It's the same as Garoppolo's. It is. You know, yeah, it's just whether you can trust him to maybe read more of the intricate plays within the offense. But I think Shanahan will, you know, manage it appropriately. And, you know, you've said it. We've all kind of waited for the Bucs defense to turn around, because it's Brady, but I think the proof is in the pudding at this point. I mean, it's just – it ain't going to happen. It's not. And I just look at it, the 49ers, with them being pissed off, them, you know, the Bucs on a short week, the Bucs not protecting well, the Bucs can't run the ball well, and then it's a team in San Francisco that has a formula on defense that gave Brady problems when he was in the prime of his career, which is they can get to you with four. And they don't need to blitz or do anything like that. And then they can do their good zone coverages behind it. So there's just too many things here where, yeah, the Purdy-Brady thing I think is going to scare bettors and make the line sway Tampa's way just a little bit. But I think that's just a headline. I just don't think that's going to be the meat and potatoes of this matchup.
And, look, the Buccaneers, you know, the Falcons are shifting to Desmond Ridder for the stretch run after the bye. The Panthers are still hanging around. The Saints are in a bye as well. The Buccaneers have the 49ers and the Bengals. They lose these next two. I still think the Bucs are going to win that division.
Yeah.
But they may have to sweat it out the final 3 weeks, because I don't think they're going to win the next two games.
Well, they might not. But then they, you know, it's Arizona, Carolina, and the Falcons. And, you know, I think the point we're both saying is, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I think the Bucs could maybe lose every game the rest of the year, and they're still going to win the division. That's just the amazing thing right now. The South is that bad. I know it is. You're right. It's only going to be one or two wins needed, I think, for them to get over the hump and win the division. But either way, yeah, let's see if they can be close in the football game to where maybe they can, you know, fake make themselves believe in the playoffs that they belong and can beat one of these teams that's clearly better than them.
By the way, it's going to be very difficult for you this week to make up any ground, either head-to-head, straight up against the spread, because we agree on everything.
There's one spread we disagree on, right?
Oh, Which one?
Well, I took the Ravens to thread the needle there. Like Pittsburgh to win, but the 0.5, right? I think that's the only one where we're off on the spread.
Correct.
You went 13-9, right. I went 19-17. Right. That's the only, and we picked the same winner, just a little bit different on the spread.
All right. Straight up, though, we are
the same. I'm going to beat you in best bets. That's what I do.
I'm going to
win more
concession.
Money for the people again.
I'm waiting for your concession speech on the straight up.
No, it's rigged. It's rigged. It's rigged. It's rigged. It's rigged. We're not. I'm going to hire a lawyer.
Stop the count.
Stop it.
Pause the show. We'll take a break. Primetime game. Stick around to see Chris's reaction when people say that Tua is actually better than Justin Herbert. We'll get you ready for the Sunday night and Monday night games right after this.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Chris Sims Unbuttoned, PFTPM, prime time, Sunday night, Monday night. The game that was flexed in place of Mahomes versus Russell Wilson. We've got Tua versus Justin Herbert taken back-to-back in the 2020 draft, 5th and 6th overall by the Dolphins and Chargers, respectively. The Dolphins are favored by 3 at SoFi Stadium. The over-under is 52. Dolphins, overall, Chris, I mean, they're the better team.
Yeah.
Chargers on paper going into the season were the better team, but you don't play it on paper, and the Chargers get banged up, and the Dolphins are playing better. They've got healthier guys, and they just look better right now. I can't imagine the Chargers winning this one. I've got no faith in them at this point.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, it's hard. It is hard. I will say, I think they match up somewhat good with the Miami Dolphins. They're not as good, like you said. I mean, this is a Dolphins team that we knew had talent before the year. We weren't sure about Tua and Mike McDaniel, and that's just absolutely exploded. And McDaniel has shown he's one of the best offensive minds in the game, and Tua's playing great, so that's all working. You know, people are insane if they don't think that the Miami Dolphins would be good if Justin Herbert was on that team, but that's another conversation for another day, all right? But, yeah, the Dolphins are – last week's loss to the 49ers made me feel better about the Dolphins. When I watched that film back, I went, the Dolphins are one of the best teams in football. I know what the 49ers are. I've seen them in person and everything, and I know they're big and fast and physical, and – so I know where to hold them in the hierarchy. And to see Miami and go, oh, they're every bit as talented as the 49ers. And, you know, they're dangerous and can make plays and do all that. Tua was off last week. He was off. Like I said, I've never seen him miss that many throws. I've never seen anybody this year miss that many open throws where he left a lot of plays on the field. I think he'll bounce back. The rest of the year has shown me he's playing good football. I'm not going to make that game be the determination. But – you know, yeah, there's just too much. Now, where I will say it's a little scary to me, you know, can Brandon Staley, a team that we've talked about, is made to stop the pass and Patrick Mahomes. So can they slow it down? And here's the other thing that just a little bit, and this is where maybe the over comes into play. I do think the Dolphins' aggressive style of play is not the best for Justin Herbert and the Chargers. It's, I mean, for the Dolphins, but I think it plays in – hey, Herbert and them, they might get a few opportunities to make some plays down the field. Or, oh, wait, here comes the blitz. I got this pick play dialed up off a little audible or a signal to my receivers out there, whatever. So I could see that happening. But the other thing that scares me, Mike, is the Chargers' pass protection is getting worse. It's got, like, last week the Raiders were all over Justin Herbert. And this is a team that plays a similar style and more, even with more talent. I'm going to go Dolphins 31-28. I'm going to take the Chargers to hang around, but I don't feel comfortable about that or them. You know, oh, damn, it's the three-point spread.
Yes.
I'll go 32-28, all right? 32-28 Dolphins. I'll take the Dolphins to cover.
I'll take the Dolphins 30-24. And look, when I say I have a hard time thinking the Chargers will win, that doesn't mean I don't believe they'll be ahead at some point. This is the Rosanna Dana team. It's always something. They played back-to-back Sunday nights earlier this year. They could have beaten slash should have beaten the 49ers and didn't. Could have beaten, should have beaten the Chiefs and didn't. They're the bizarro Vikings where they find a way late to blow a game they should win. And I feel like the same thing is going to happen here. They're going to find a way to blow it. The Dolphins will find a way to win it. It could be high scoring. I don't know. I mean, that over-under, maybe it's a best bet to take the over on that one. It's one of the ones I'm going to have to think about when we do that segment coming up. But the Chargers are competitive, but they just have a knack for finding a way to blow it. And, yeah, oh, hey, they beat the Cardinals, but those are the Cardinals.
Right.
They won the Cardinals game on that late two-point conversion.
Yeah,
great.
Right. It's
awesome.
The Cardinals.
But these aren't the Cardinals.
Exactly.
These, yeah.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying there. Yeah, you're talking about, like, they blow games against teams that are quality, that are as good as them or better. They can't ever seem to pull it out there. Yeah, the Cardinals are, you know, one of the more dysfunctional teams in the league right now. And, yeah, oh, they pulled that one off. Yeah, whoop-de-doo. I hear what you're saying. I do. It'd be interesting, though. I do think the Chargers, I think a lot of people think that the Miami Dolphins are just going to blow them away. And I just think too much of Herbert and Lombardi that they'll have a few answers from that aggressive Dolphins offense and be able to make a few plays, you know, here and there. But yeah, this is a good one. But the Dolphins, to me, are certainly an elite class in football and one of the best teams in the game.
All right. Dolphins, Monday night, Patriots, same division. So there's a save. Patriots and Cardinals. Patriots favored by 1.5 over the Cardinals. And the Patriots had 11 days to get ready for this one. You give Bill Belichick 11 days to get ready for Cliff Kingsbury, who, you know, hot seat galore in Arizona. Chris, I'm going to take this one first and say, you know what? This is one, I think this is one where the Patriots are going to scheme them up and execute and get the better of the Cardinals. I've got, where's the score? Hello. Patriots 27-17 winning this one. I think Belichick has taken some of the offensive criticism to heart. I suspect he's used some of that extra time to get personally involved in goosing the offense. And I just think that they will be. Now, I know they have trouble historically with running quarterbacks, but I think they'll be fine defensively. I think they'll score enough points offensively, and they'll do their damnedest to stay in the hunt here for a postseason berth and avoid falling under 500. I like the Patriots a lot in this one, 27-17.
Yeah, I'm going to go Patriots 24-20. I think your base thoughts are on par or on the money there. And I think you're right. I mean, they have problems with the running quarterbacks, but you know, the problem is I don't think they'll have a problem, like you just kind of said, breaking down the rest of the offense to where they'll figure out how to play it and all that. I will say I worry about the Patriots offense a little in this one. I do. I still have, you know, respect for Arizona, the scheme, how they play it. And, you know, it seems like when teams kind of play exotic type stuff on defense that's not by the book, that the Patriots have a hard time with that. You know, when it's the Minnesota Vikings and it's just, hey, we play cover four and cover two, they're, hey, we got a million plays. We'll just dial them up. Boom, 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 boom. But that's where I think lack of an offensive coordinator and their lack of experience there hurts them a little bit because, you know, oh, wait, I don't know what this team's doing to me or I don't have experience of where to go here. So I guess I'm just going to take the Cardinals to hang around a little bit more because of that aspect. But I'm taking the Patriots to win.
Best bets and Folsom Prison Blues pick when we wrap up Chris Sims Unbuttoned at PFTPM right after this.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Best bets time, a.k.a. worst bets time. Do the opposite of whatever we suggest. Chris, go first. What do you got? Against the spread or over-under?
Yeah, I'm going with spread here. I'm going to take the Bengals to cover the spread. My 6 points, it's just, to me, not enough. It's a Bengals team that's hitting on all cylinders. They're going to be motivated by the fact that they haven't beat the Browns. They're at home. Watson in the offense, all of that. I got the Bengals winning by 11, and I could see them winning by 14 or 20 in this one. I'm going Bengals.
Titans giving 4 to the Jaguars. The post-John Robinson bump is real. The Titans win big. Give me your next
one. Ooh, baby. You're going against my Jaguars? How dare you? My next one is I'm going with the Eagles. I think the Eagles are going to cover the spread. I know they're 7-point favorites, but I just think it's a bad matchup for the Giants. I think the Eagles already got over their midseason lull, and now it's, you know, pedal to the metal. We're going to the Super Bowl-type drive. They're going to win 31-20. Cover the spread.
49ers giving the Bucs 3.5. I think it's going to be ugly for Tampa Bay and Tom Brady. Give me the 49ers to cover. One more. Let's go.
I'm taking the 49ers, too. That's going to be mine as well. I'm going there with you. Same thing. I just think a defense is too much for that Bucs-O.
Last one for me, the team that Tom Brady used to play for, New England Patriots, only given 1.5 in Arizona. I think with that extra time to get ready, the Patriots win, and they could win big. All right, Folsom Prison Blues, the one team to win. Straight up, I'm Cowboys.
Well, duh. Cowboys, I mean, it's whoever the Texans play every week. That's who we're taking.
Yeah, that's true. That's it from now on. Thanks for some of your time. Enjoy the games this week. See you.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.